Welcome to episode 2 of the Fuck Off Everton podcast. I'm Nathan O'Hagan.
And I'm Bill Cummings.
And this week we've got a two-parter. In the second part we'll catch up on recent events, but in the first part we're going to delve back into the 97-98 season. Yet another of our tumultuous recent seasons. Bill, you remember anything particular about the build-up to that season? I've got pretty vivid memories of it. But what were your memories like sort of going into the season before it actually started?
I remember, I don't think there was a lot of hope, was there? Slaven Bilic came in, didn't he? And then you had a couple of other signings like John Oster and Gareth Farley.
Yeah. We're just two full seasons between our last trophy and this season. You know, won the FA Cup in 95, and then Joe Royal had sort of, you know, his results fell off a cliff in the second season after that, and we ended up with Dave Watson as a caretaker manager for the last part of the season previous to this, 96-97 season. We stayed up sort of relatively comfortably in the end. You know, it was far from a last day scrap or anything, but going into the new season, Peter Johnson was promising, as became a pattern of his ownership, promising things that he obviously couldn't possibly hope to come across with. And we're starting off with the promise of a so-called world-class manager, which in his mind, like, he pursued Bobby Robson quite relentlessly while he was at Barcelona, you know, as though he ever really had any realistic chance of luring him from the Camp Nou to Goodison the way we were at the time. But he'd been replaced by Johan Cruyff as manager, and he moved upstairs to a sort of boardroom technical director type role. And he obviously thought he could lure him out of that. But unsurprisingly, Bobby decided to stay in Barcelona. And he then moved on to Andy Gray, which is quite a drop, really, isn't it? When you're going from someone as experienced and popular as Bobby Robson to Andy Gray. I think he briefly managed Wolves. And then he'd gone on to, obviously, his role at Sky Sports. He was trying to tempt him out of that. And then I think he sort of, Johnson himself wavered and tried to get him to have Kendall as like a sort of technical director with him in the dugout. And Gray decided, no, fuck that, you know, I'm going to stay on this cushy number at Sky. And why wouldn't he? So we were up to, I think, the end of June at that point, and still didn't have a manager. So he turned to Kendall to come back. He was at Sheffield United in the first division at the time and doing a decent job there. I think they were pushing for promotion the season before, just missed out on the playoffs. So he was doing quite well there. Mm. And they were probably, you know, quite strongly fancied to go up that season. But obviously, with it being Everton, you know, Kendall just couldn't say no, could he? Even though he obviously knew what was going to be awaiting him there. He just couldn't turn Everton down. So he came back with Adrian Heath as his number two. And then we were promised lots of world-class signings. And my God, looking at the list of the players that came in, obviously there was no transfer window at that point. So you could sort of sign pretty much through the season, if I remember rightly. But if you just look at a list of the players who came in, like in pre-season, it was the likes of Danny Williamson, who went on to play, I think, like 15 games for us. It was kind of like he had one really bad injury, which I think finished his career, actually, not just that season. I'm not sure he ever played for us again after that. But we were signing, you know, really uninspiring names. You know, decent, promising young players. Like, you've just been talking about John Oster before we got started. You know, he was hardly thought of. He came in for $1.5 million, so not tiny money, you know, at the time. Mm-hmm. He came in from Grimsby Town. Gareth Farrelly from Aston Villa, which I think was either a free or, you know, like a nominal transfer fee, and Tony Thomas from Tranmere Rovers, who I'm not sure he was even in the first team of Tranmere at that point. He came in for like 300,000 or 400,000, something like that. So the kind of caliber of signings we were bringing in, obviously, Slaven Bilic came in, but that was sort of signed before, wasn't it? He agreed to stay at West Ham for one more season and then come to us, but it was all sort of pre-agreed kind of thing. He came in for like 4 million or something like that, which I think was our record buy at the time, wasn't it? I don't think we'd spent anywhere near that on a single signing, or possibly Nick Barmby may have been almost expensive, but big money anyway. But otherwise, you got largely sort of unknown, untested players coming in, which it doesn't bode well, does it, when you've just spent the season struggling. David Unsworth going out as well in a swap deal for Danny Williamson. That didn't work out too great on our side, did it? And Graeme Stewart, I think, had gone as well to Sheffield United. But it was not a lot of confidence, I think it's fair to say, going into the season, was there?
No, and sort of parallels with now in a way.
Yeah.
Sort of an owner who promised a lot, didn't really deliver until, well, even like a sort of rag bag of signings, not the greatest, like not the manager he kind of built up.
Yeah.
I remember there was a lot about him because wasn't he in sort of like the food hamper business, old
Yeah,
Peter
he owns
Johnson?
Park Hampers over
That's
on
right.
the Wirral, and
Yeah.
he's well known on the Wirral, like, and he owned Tranmere as well. And I think I don't know if he'd been on the board at Liverpool, but I know he was a Liverpool fan. I don't know if maybe he just couldn't get any sort of a foothold on the board at Liverpool, or whether he just came straight to Everton. But he was known as the Wirral greengrocer in the local press, wasn't he? He just wasn't taken seriously as an owner. Like, in his early days, he did spend a fair bit of money bringing in the likes of Nick Barmby and Kanchelskis and a few others, but it was a classic case of spending money that you haven't got, which he did again in subsequent seasons, which is probably something for another podcast, like in the Walter Smith era.
Yeah.
But he owned he owned Park Campers and Park Online, the call centre where I worked for a couple of years as well. I was always turning up at the Shrew in Oxton, which is one of my local pubs, fucking stinking the place out with his horrible fucking Tory laugh, throwing the money around, but didn't throw it around quite so much at Everton. But yeah, big talk, big on talk and promises, and very, very little
On delivery.
on delivery.
Bit like a
Which is
certain
yeah, but
Mashiri
definitely, like I
there.
said,
But you had
similar
people like
opinion.
Madar came in and was it
Yeah, that was
Kia B Green
later on. There was
in the season, yeah.
Well, I mean, Peter Beagrie as well tells you that the caliber. I mean, I think that was his third spell with us, and
Yeah.
he was on loan from
I
Bradford
did think
before.
that. I thought I'm sure he played for us before
Yeah,
that. Then
no, I think.
Hinch, Kiff and Speed left later on in
Yeah.
the season as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, going into it, they're the kind of signings you've got. And the season started pretty poorly with a home defeat to Crystal Palace. I remember Attilio Lombardo, the bald eagle, just taking us apart pretty much single-handedly. I'm not sure if he scored both goals, but he absolutely demolished us. When you see a player on another team just with that bit of class that you're completely lacking,
Yeah.
and that was just the difference. We had a load of cart horses, and Crystal Palace had that one thoroughbred.
Yeah.
It just made all the difference.
I was actually at the Man United game. I
Yeah.
did remember that because
That
I
was early
went.
on in the season, wasn't it? I think that was like
Yeah, and
three games in.
I remember it because Giggs was playing, Beckham was playing, Sheringham, and I went with my uncle and my brother. And my brother's a Man United fan, so he obviously wanted to come. But he was only a kid at the time. And we were sitting in, not maybe the Park End. Yeah, Park End. It wasn't the Gladys. It was Park End. And when my uncle was getting angry with my brother, various reasons, because we were going past all the pubs and he was kind of being a bit, cheeky and stuff. And then when we were at the front, actually, I remember that. And then Man United scored. I think it was in front of us. and my brother ripped off his top and he's got a Man United t-shirt underneath. And my uncle's giving him daggers, like, as if,
yeah,
put that away. We're going to get, you know, we're going to get strangled here, because, you know, obviously we're in the home end here, you know. So, that does stick in my mind, you know. And I do actually remember, I think I went to, I can't remember the other game. I definitely went to another game. And I was sat there thinking, it was a crap game. And I was just thinking, I was looking, you know, when you look at the programme, you think, that one young player, I hope he comes on. I was just thinking of John Oster. I was just thinking, I hope he comes on. Just shows you, like I said before, how far our squad had sort of dwindled since the cup win, in a way. Because it was kind of like that. You've got some of the players that were still there from the sort of 95, 96 season, haven't you? And the 96, 97. But then you've got all these, like you said, sort of journeymen coming in and people who didn't really live up to the billing, in a way. You got Ferguson in there. You got, you still got sort of the likes of Craig Short, Joe Parkinson, Tony Grant, who I always loved.
Really. Yeah, well, Grant and Parkinson were both injured, like, for most of that season. And, you know, if you think of those two in the middle, that probably would have been a pretty decent midfield to build on. Plus, Danny Williamson, who was actually a really good player. You know, he's obviously become a bit of a joke because of what a disastrous signing he was, but he was really highly rated. And I don't think he quite got into the England squad, but, you know, he's one of those who's being talked about playing.
Yeah, I remember when he came in, it was like this idea.
Box-to-box attacking midfielder, you know. And
he was really skillful, I remember this idea that he was going to be really skillful and, you know, bring a lot to the team and all that.
Yeah.
But when you look at the squad, though, there's a lot of, like, championship almost about it, though, isn't there? People like Carl Tyler and
and players, you know, with promise. Yeah, well, you know, we nicknamed the Blue Blades, weren't we? Because Kendall brought in, you know, out of desperation because he didn't have any choice. He brought in Ward and Tyler together, Mitch Ward and Carl Tyler.
Yeah,
and, you know, they're not going to keep you up in the Premier League single handedly, are they? I mean, Mitch Ward was just a sort of, like, you know, utility squad player, even for Sheffield United, really, and Carl Tyler was just a very, very much an old school centre back. But if they're the kind of players you're bringing in, then that's obviously worrying straight away, isn't it? And then you start to lose the quality. I mean, as the season sort of, you know, the first few weeks went by, I think we had one win. We won our second game at home to West Ham, and then we went a good few weeks without another win. I think we only beat Barnsley, who were like the whipping boys of the league that season, had just come up the first time ever. And then you started to lose quality players, like Andy Hinchcliffe went to Sheffield Wednesday, who were basically like a direct relegation rival, and you're selling one of your best players to a relegation rival.
I always remember he was brilliant on the corners, Andy
Hinchcliffe. His crossing was fantastic. His corners were fantastic.
His corners. It always sticks in my mind, just him whipping in corners to, like, Ferguson and Amakachi and people like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was a real source of goals, wasn't he, during that, you know, the Dogs of War era. So then you're losing a really good supply line to Ferguson. And obviously, we then lost Gary Speed to Newcastle, and that was massively controversial at the time, wasn't it? It was all sort of shrouded in mystery, wasn't it? That sort of enigmatic quote Speed gave to Dave Prentice about how he, if he said what had really happened, it would drag the name of the club through the mud, and that's something he's not prepared to do. But obviously, being so sort of mysterious, it just created all kinds of speculation, and there was lots of stuff going on in the press. Kendall saying he'd refused to play, and Speed not saying anything, you know, sort of keeping his counsel, but rumours about Kendall being drunk at half time and things like that, you know, loads of rumours flying around in these sort of, like, pre-internet days. There were still, like, you know, message boards and things like that. Lots of dodgy rumours going around. And, you know, I think obviously we know now what went on. I think he was sold sort of pretty much without his knowledge, and was sort of forced out of the club and got a lot of stick from the fans, but decided to, you know, just take the flak rather than slag the club off or whatever, you know.
That's something clubs often do, don't they? They sort of ostracise a player and sort of put it back on them.
Yeah, throw them under the bus.
Yeah, because it makes it easier to sell them then. You know, it happens a lot.
It's not a new thing still going on now. But obviously, you know, he was the captain and, you know, probably our best player over those few seasons and
He
left
was,
a
yeah.
massive gap. You know, he scored loads of goals from
He was
midfield.
a great player, wasn't he? He was. He
He
was
was fantastic, yeah, as well as being,
a.
you know, a great bloke, and obviously that, you know,
What
it's tragic
happened?
passing, but you know, you remember how good he was on the
So
pitch.
sad.
Yeah.
So sad what
Yeah,
happened.
brilliant.
So sad.
Yeah. Such a loss, yeah.
But that's
And
depression for you, isn't it? You know?
yeah. And like, you know, just in football in terms of the time, obviously it was a massive loss to Everton because he was pretty much the talisman, really. And
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
Ferguson got made captain, didn't he, for the first time after Speed left. And I think that inspired Ferguson. It's probably his most consistent season for us, actually, in terms of scoring goals. I mean, he was never a prolific goal scorer, Ferguson, but I think he got 12 goals for us, which bizarrely I think is his best tally in a single season. But obviously, you have to factor in the fact that he was suspended and injured quite a lot. But
Yeah.
he definitely sort of took the responsibility on and, you know, decided to be like the talisman in Speed's absence and scored a fair few goals, some
It's
important ones.
mad, really. You could sit in like 12 goals. Now we'd love that, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
You know,
Absolutely, yeah, we'd kill for a 12
it's
goal
crazy,
striker at the
isn't it?
moment, wouldn't he? Yeah. But he got his first and only hat trick for us as well that season against Bolton, sort of halfway through, like just after
Yeah.
Christmas it was. Three brilliant sort of trademark Ferguson headers.
And the first Bolton game was controversial as well, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, sort of going back to the early
Yeah.
one against them away, they had a, you know, clear goal disallowed. I mean, obviously we've got all the goal line technology
Yeah, I
and
was going to
everything
say
these days, but
pre-goal line technology.
even without that, you know, if you sort of look at it on YouTube, it was so fucking obvious it was over the line. You know, they were absolutely robbed. And that proved pivotal for both teams, didn't it, come the end of the season. But yeah, there were some dark days. I mean, particularly, I think the lowest points came against Coventry in the League Cup when they absolutely battered us. 4-1, was it, or 4-0? Yeah, I think it was 4-1.
One.
And there was that sort of attempt to bring the team back out onto the pitch and make them do a warm down in front of the fans, which didn't go too well. And I think the likes of Craig Short and Gary Speed were sort of you know, seen arguing with Kendall on the pitch. And you know that's when things are going bad, when you're openly arguing with the manager
Yeah.
on the pitch and things like that.
Mute
Yeah.
mutiny, mutiny.
Yeah, basically. And then the following week, in fact, the following weekend, we inverted the form book and beat Liverpool 2-0 at home in a really good derby performance. Do you remember that? Danny Cadamatri's
Hadamatri, yeah.
solo goal. And there's another
I
sort
do
of young
remember that
striker
too.
that never quite made the grade for us. Looked like he was going to be the next big thing, ala Michael Bradshaw
Yeah.
or
Didn't he
Francis
score
Schäfer.
like something like a run? He went on like a run of goals, didn't he, when he
Yeah,
first
he
got on the
scored
team?
like three goals in
Yeah.
three games,
I
three on
think
the
it was
run.
something like 4 in 8 or something.
Yeah, he had a really good little run of goals.
When
And
he had the
then,
dreadlocks, when he had the dreadlocks.
so yeah. And then I don't think he scored again that season. I'm not sure he ever got more than like one or two
No.
goals after that.
That
But
was his last goal. I
that
did read that actually. It was his
was
last
it?
goal, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I knew he said he hadn't been prolific after that. I didn't realise it was definitely his last one. But yeah, I mean, what a goal to go out on, I suppose. But it's just another tale of unfulfilled potential, really, isn't it, for a young Everton player? But we put so much on their shoulders, so much responsibility and expectation. That, you know, I mean, he went on to have a decent career, didn't he? Played for the likes of Bradford and I think he went to Sheffield United, you know, mostly in Championship or, you know, Division One or whatever, as it may have still been then.
Was this the season with the yellow and black kit as well? Away kit.
Yeah, yellow black
Which they've kind
stripes.
of, yeah. Have
Yeah,
they
quite a
haven't
nice kit, actually. I had that one for a
they haven't
while.
brought the red, it's the red and black one they've sort of
Yeah.
re-unearthed,
Yeah, which is like sort of the 92 season. Yeah.
rebooted.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but as
Yeah.
we moved on, we brought in a couple more players. Like you mentioned, Mikel Madar
Yeah.
earlier on. He came in on a free from Deportivo La Coruña. He was a bit of a cult player, wasn't he, Madar?
Yeah.
He's pretty worthy of a podcast in his own right. He was such a cult figure, you know, sort of good looking, long dark hair.
Yeah.
A bit of French class came from Spain, and he hit it off straight away, didn't he? I think he scored on his debut. or like a second game. And then he went on a decent run as well and made a decent partnership with Ferguson. But like in many ways, sort of the complete opposite, as you know, Ferguson used as like a battering ram. I was just like that little bit of sort of grace and class up front. But I remember going to one of his early games with my brother, and he got tackled and he went down, you know, so heavily, and the scream that came out of him, you know, the whole crowd was actually laughing at him. You know, this ear piercing, no, it wasn't a shout, it wasn't like, ah, it was this high-pitched scream, and it was just ridiculous. And I think that was his first game, and everyone was thinking, oh my God, you know, what we signed here, kind of thing. But then, you know, he went on to score the winner, I think, in that game. And then he went on, I think, three goals in three games, something like that. And I think we won two of them. So, you know, made a big difference. I think he got like six goals or seven goals in the league, which obviously was pivotal, you know, given how much we were struggling. You know, those sort of margins, such a big difference. And who else? Don Hutchinson is another signing from Sheffield United, but I'd say probably considerably more successful than Mitch Ward and Carl Tyler. He was a really good signing, actually, wasn't he, Don Hutchison?
Good player in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
I forgot, what's his name? The striker from Rangers that we had. Totally forgot his
Spencer?
name.
John Spencer, was it?
John
No,
Spencer, yeah.
I think we signed him from, was it from
I
Chelsea?
forgot all about him just until I was
Yeah,
reading
well,
about it. He
he did
scored
football
in,
for us, that's why.
he scored one goal, I think, in a win. I was just
Yeah.
reading. Mad.
Yeah, I was, you know, another one where we were sort of scrambling around for goals, and he certainly wasn't the answer.
No.
Think he ended up going to Motherwell from us next season. Yeah, chose
It
his.
was a real sort of like, journeyman squad, wasn't it,
Yeah,
really?
it was just a
With a
patchwork, wasn't it? Yeah.
couple of quality players.
Yeah, but you know, by no means, nowhere near enough. I mean,
No.
you know, Don Hutchison was a really good signing. And I think he had a point to prove as well, because he'd have to drop down to Division One after being in the Premier League all his career before that with Liverpool
Liverpool,
and
yeah.
West Ham. And you know, he showed that he was definitely still Premier League class, and you know, he stuck around for a good few seasons and was a really good player for us,
I
captained
tell
us,
you
I
what
think.
strikes me, just looking at the ages of the players as well, it's like sort of not many in their prime, you know?
No,
A
it's
lot,
either very
either,
young or aging, yeah.
sort of journeyman.
Which isn't a great mix, is it? You know.
No. No. But this was the sort of start of the, when Moyes, later when Moyes came in, it's the start of the era of not having much money, wasn't it, really? You
Yeah.
know, and having to just sort of make do and kind of.
Yeah, and you know, Kendall sort of having to just try and drag something out, but I think, you know,
Walter Smith as well. That was a
yeah.
real that was probably even worse, I think. That sticks in my mind as even worse than this kind of era. I
I
don't know
think
why.
it was in terms of like the standard of football, but I don't think, I mean, I think
Well,
when we talk about like sort of
league positions, it wasn't as bad, but it just felt, I think part of it was that we brought some players in and you thought we're going to do more. That's what it was kind of, because you had
yeah.
people like Decore, didn't you? And I don't know,
Yeah.
just various players we brought in. It
Yeah,
just
well,
felt like,
we spent money we didn't have
that's
from
right.
the season after that, but
I
in
think
this
that's why it was
we
maybe
weren't
more
spending money.
disappointing, because, like, you kind of expected it in this era, but with Smith, and Smith had been really successful at Rangers. I know you can't always transfer, Scottish League success to
But still an
Premier League.
experienced and successful
He'd won a lot, hadn't
manager.
he? He'd won a
Yeah.
lot.
Yeah, like
And
nine
wasn't he
titles or
like, I don't
whatever.
know, was he involved in the Scottish setup or was that later? I can't remember.
Yeah,
Might
I
have
think
been
that may have been
later.
later on, actually. Yeah.
He was sort
But
of friends with Ferguson, wasn't he? And that was kind of the
yeah.
idea he was going to be this successful manager, you know. But again,
Yeah.
it's like the whole problems at the club were bigger than what was going on almost.
Yeah.
Which is similar to what's going on now as well, in a
Exactly.
way.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you had a manager, as we do now, trying to sort of patch together a squad just to sort of survive the season and then look to kind of build. But obviously Kendall didn't get the chance. But you know, you could see what he was trying to do. He was trying to bring in a certain type of player, but the caliber of that type of player was so low because he couldn't afford to bring anyone
Yeah.
decent. And, you know, he wanted a new right back. He wasn't given any money to sign a decent one. So he had to go and sign Tony Thomas. He wanted wingers, but didn't have any money. So he had to sign
Tony
Gareth.
Thomas was championship standard because I remember him coming
Oh,
on
yeah.
in
He
the
was
Man
awful.
United game and he was just rinsed by Giggs and Beckham
Yeah.
quite a few times.
You know, I think he wasn't even in the. He wasn't even Tramier's first choice right back at the time. I think he'd been overtaken by, I think it was Graham Allen. I can't remember. I have to look into that. But yeah, it just tells you the state we were in financially, the kind of players we were able to attract. You know, it's. I think when you look at the squad, it's miraculous that we stayed up.
Yeah.
And you compare it to the Wimbledon game in '94. I think this is so much worse in so many ways because, for one, our fate wasn't in our own hands.
Yeah.
You know, against Wimbledon, we just had to win the game. Obviously, that's a massive thing, but we just had to win the game. But against Coventry on the last day of this season, we had to win and rely on other results. Or, you know, we had to get a point and rely on other results. A win was
Yeah.
not enough. It would not guarantee us
Just
staying up.
looking here, the last win was April against Leeds at home.
Yeah.
So basically,
A whole month
yeah, whole
win.
month.
Yeah.
And when you desperately need points to stay up,
Yeah. I just remember, like, I was living in Carlisle at the time, so I didn't get to too many games. And I just remember listening to the final day this week. Well, actually, the week before was against Arsenal when we really needed something. And Arsenal were just fucking rampant that season. You know, it was that side of Vieira and Petit and, you know, Adams having this like summit of his career, and they were
I
just a
remember
fucking
that.
machine. They just annihilated
They
us.
destroyed us,
I remember
didn't they?
listening to it
When they won
and
the league, yeah. I
yeah,
remember that. Was that the
Tony
one,
Adams
Tony
throwing that
Adams?
volley.
Yeah,
Yeah.
the last
Steve
one.
Bould playing through Tony Adams for a volley. They were just absolutely taking the piss. It was
Oh, they were
absolute
miles
men
ahead
against
of us, weren't
boys,
they, at that
men
time?
against boys, you know, and it could have been so much more than 4-0. You know, they beat us 4-0. At a canter, you know, didn't even have to go into second
It's
gear, and
weird
they
though,
absolutely demolished us.
it's weird though because there's something, maybe it's something to do with like how football's covered now and like with social media and everything. But I don't remember being as, we're running out of time here, but I don't remember being as like, maybe it's because I was a bit younger as well. I would have been 17, 18, you know. I don't remember being as like catastrophic that we were going to go down then. I don't know why. It's
No,
just,
I don't know. I
I
suppose
don't know.
your memories are, you know, different for different people. But I remember thinking, you know, we're definitely gone. And I remember feeling just, you know, massive, but completely inevitable. And listening to that, the game at home against Coventry, like on this little crappy stereo I had up in my bedroom up in Carlisle, and just, you know, the sense of absolute doom,
Yeah.
you know, far more than against Wimbledon, far more than last season against Bournemouth.
I felt like the Wimbledon one was bigger. I don't know why. It's probably just, I don't
I
know.
honestly think that's
I don't know
because
what
of
it
how it's
was.
been portrayed, and, you know,
Possibly,
and
possibly.
it was more dramatic because, you know, we were 2-0 down,
Yeah.
and, you know, the dramatic comeback, and obviously the controversy around, like, you know, Hans Seegers, the allegations that he threw the game and things like that, and, you know, Barry Horn scoring such
I
a brilliant
think,
goal. I think it's just
yeah.
been kind of, it's slight revisionism in our hands. It was more in our
Yeah.
control than the
Possibly
Coventry
just that,
game.
that's how I felt at the time, you know what I mean?
Plus, we had more quality in that
Yeah.
team. We had
And
Andrew
also,
Lampard, we had Parkinson, Hinchcliffe.
and the cup run and everything, just
Yeah.
more memorable. But I just remember thinking at the time, but that I was more worried we were going, but maybe it's just because we'd already escaped once and there was another, do you know what I mean? It just felt like another one. It felt like a sequel, but a less memorable sequel in a way. That's probably
Yeah.
what it was. And
Yeah.
also because you were following more on like things like Teletext, I don't know about you, or like the Liverpool Echo, or you were following, and or like Five Live, I used to listen to a lot. You were
Yeah.
following more through that than like when it's Twitter. It's just like it's constant, isn't it? It's constant
Yeah.
bombardment. Like the last 2 years, it's just like constantly, oh, we're going down, we're going down, we're going down, and you got all these other fans going, you're going down, you're going. It's just like it's just too much almost.
Yeah. Yeah, at least it wasn't a
Funny.
co constant bombardment of information like it is now.
That's
But
right,
yeah,
and
it
it can
did
affect
feel
your mental
very
health because
oh,
I
fuck
listened
yeah.
to. I mean, you know, this is a podcast as well, but I listen to a lot of Everton podcasts. And on the weekend, I just, because we it was the third loss, I was just like, I can't listen to all these podcasts again. It's just going to depress me, you know?
Yeah.
I need to step back a bit from it all, you know? As
yeah,
much as I
want
us to
win. Twitter in this season.
Yeah. It just, it's like, it's frustrating. And then you've got to listen to other people being depressed as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a therapy in it, but it can also get you down, especially when it's sort of about the financial aspect of it as well. Like, especially last season, I was just like, oh, we're going down and we're going into oblivion, you know, financial oblivion. Yeah. So,
well, I think that's what would have happened if we'd gone down in this
exactly.
season, the 97-98 yeah. season. It actually would have been. But,
there's a lot of echoes. There's a lot of echoes between this season and the last couple, really.
Yeah.
They're not strengthening properly, waiting, you know. But that's Everton, isn't it? It's like, it's same with the manager. It's like, sounds like similar, waiting to appoint a manager, you know. Yeah. Waiting to bring players in.
Dilly-dallying, leaving everything till.
I don't think you didn't have transfer windows in the same way then, though, did you?
No, I think you could sign it at any point. That's why we were able to bring likes of Hutchinson in and Thomas Meyer. The goalkeeper came in sort of quite late on.
We had a few French strikers around then because we had Bakayoko, didn't we, as well? A few years later.
He was Orion, wasn't he, Bakayoko?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What year was that?
That was a couple of years later. That was the Walter Smith.
Yeah, I did think it was a couple of years later. But yeah, Madar, yeah, he did sort of give you a boost, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, those six goals were vital, you know.
Kept us up, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just looking. He went on to PSG afterwards as well.
Yeah, long before their Qatari ownership. But yeah, he went back to France and I think sort of he dealt his career there. But yeah, I mean that last game, obviously the Gareth Farrelly goal. We talked about the poor quality of the signings, but Farrelly sort of justified his existence, as it were, with that one strike alone, didn't he? Against Coventry, he'd only scored one goal previously against Scunthorpe in the League Cup.
Yeah.
So he sort of saved it all up for when it really counted, I suppose, with that brilliant volley. Like,
yeah, I watched that actually because I knew we were going to talk about this season, so I watched the highlights of it again. You know, and it is a good finish, isn't it? It always looks better when it comes off the post as well.
Yeah. I think he mishit it, to be honest. I'm sure he would admit that, but he sort of cut across it a bit more than I think he meant to, but who cares? Like, it went in. But, you know, he still managed to almost throw it away. We missed a penalty late on. Nicky Barmby missed a penalty with, like, 2 minutes to go or something, and then Dion Dublin scored a late equaliser. And so then you're looking for other results, and it's not as easy to find the other results. I was listening to it on the radio, and obviously I didn't have my phone and Twitter to check results in the other games, and relying on Bolton dropping points away to Chelsea, which thankfully they did. They lost 2-0 to Chelsea, and we stayed up on goal difference at the cost of Bolton, who obviously were robbed early on in the season.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, we didn't deserve to stay up, really, in real terms. You know, we won our game against Bournemouth last season, so we deserved to stay up then. We beat Wimbledon on the last day, 94, so we sort of deserved to stay up. But because of that, you know, I'm sure Bolton fans still feel aggrieved at that, because they deserve to stay up, really.
Stayed up by default, really.
Yeah, just by virtue of a poor refing decision.
Mm. Yeah, I do remember the club did, I don't know if you remember the fanzine When Skies Are Grey.
Yeah.
And I just remember reading that, and the club was, it's pretty much a mess then, wasn't it? As well.
Yeah. And you got to feel sorry for Howard Kendall, obviously. You know, it was a terrible season.
Yeah.
And he got a lot wrong, obviously. But, you know, by far our greatest manager. And I think he will always remain so, you know. And he was treated appallingly by a far lesser man in Peter Johnson. You know, he was obviously not going to be kept on. He was obviously going to be sacked, and they just dragged it out for so long. There was all speculation about O'Neill, Strachan, and some others while he was still in the job, and, you know, eventually sort of put out of his misery. But remember reading a quote from Don Hutchison, I'm pretty sure it was Don Hutchison, like after the Coventry game, when they're all sort of, celebrating or, relieved in the dressing room, and Kendall was nowhere to be seen. So Hutchison went looking for him and found him like in a sort of like little boot room or storeroom or something, just sat on his own in the dark, just, crying with sheer relief, having just about kept us up. That the
Yeah.
strain that it put on him, obviously, I say not without fault, obviously, in that season,
It felt a
but
bit
he answered
like,
the distress call, and he managed
yeah,
to keep us up, and
he
it
always
put
loved the
everything
club,
on him.
didn't he? He loved the club, and but it felt like it's a bit like sequels to films, isn't it? Like a classic film. It's like it felt like each stint got worse, but it wasn't so much his fault as the just the way
No, it wasn't.
the
We were
club
on a
was at
downward
the point.
trajectory.
Yeah, the
Yeah, we
club
were on a
was,
solid downward
yeah.
trajectory, and he was brought in, the second spell to sort of, keep us steady and safe in mid-table. And the third time he was brought in to, to firefight, basically,
Yeah.
and he just about managed to keep the fire out, but it took its fucking toll on him, clearly from Hutchinson's quote, and I think, largely finished his career as a manager, like certainly in high profile roles he did. He managed in, I think, Greece and Cyprus and sort of lower leagues a little bit after that. But I think,
It
it
just
took so
shows you
long.
sometimes it's not always like people. Like look at the manager and the players and stuff, but sometimes it's not always about that. It's sometimes it's bigger than that, you know?
There's a far larger malaise at the club, which hasn't
Yeah.
ever really been fully corrected in the
No.
subsequent years.
No. But it was a weird time. I think as well because a bit like the Mashiri thing, it's like you had that promise of somebody with money coming in, you know, and promising stuff, but it actually. None of it was
False
delivered.
promises.
Yeah. But in fact, the team was still on its arse, you know, basically. And it would take really until Moyes came in, really, wasn't it?
I
Even
mean,
then, it took him season upon season to actually build
to
anything, really.
build bit by bit,
Yeah. Because when he came in, we were struggling as well. So, you know.
Well, we were sort of fighting relegation then, weren't we?
We
And
were.
really struggling, but he managed to sort of like keep us solid and, build bit by bit. But as you say, it's never done right at Everton, is it? We get to a certain point and someone fucks it up too.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, welcome to part episode two, tranche two, I suppose we can call it, can't we? We've talked about the past and the 97-98 season, so let's get up to
Second
date on the
half, second half.
second half. We've had our
Cool,
half-time
cut yourself.
refreshments, half-time oranges, and emptying of our bladders. Now we can move on to the last few weeks. I mean, our cautious optimism of the first podcast was not a bit misplaced, wasn't it, given
Yeah.
what transpired in the first few weeks?
Very much so. And I wonder if we kind of cursed it.
Probably, but as the club is, fucking cursed already. But yeah, it's not been a great start, has it?
No. And kind of set the tone the first game, didn't it? The Fulham result, really. I mean, I'm just looking here at some of the stats. I know you can't always go by stats, but
Was it
we've
19 shots?
we've had something like
One game.
19 shots, shots on target, 10. Yeah, no goals,
No.
ex non-penalty XG, whatever that means, 11.
And we've got naught, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is the thing that everyone has talked about for a long time, bringing players in too late, not addressing the glaringly obvious lack of striker. I mean, we've now got Beto in, but, 6 weeks too late, really. He should have been brought in pre-season, time to bed in and get fit, and then being available straight away. As it is, we've let three games slip by,
Exactly.
much as we did at the start of last season due to the lack of
Exactly.
a striker. Although, I will say, I mean, it's absolutely right that you need a striker to stick the ball in the net. But, strikers aren't the only people who are allowed to score goals in football teams, and someone should tell our fucking midfield and our defenders that it is up to them as well to contribute.
Yeah,
You
because
can't
football
always
teams,
rely.
yeah, you don't just rely on one goal scorer, do you?
No,
Although
you're
I will say, when you consider looking back at Carlo's season, you had
Sigurdsson, Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin fit. You had Bernard even would chip in. You know what I mean? You had people who were would create and score. James, of course.
Yeah.
And now when you look at that, all of those are gone. Dean as well.
Yeah.
When really, and all of those have got, we're left with a team. I mean, because of injuries as well, obviously, that's a big thing at the moment we could talk about as well. But
Yeah.
we're left with a team where there aren't regular goal scorers in there. But I do agree, like a football team isn't just about a striker, although the striker does make room for other people and
Of
is a
course, yeah.
platform for
But
attacks.
we are creating chances even without a recognised striker. And you know, the likes of, if you look at the profile of, say, Iwobi and Doucouré, they should be goal scoring midfielders. And you know, Doucouré scored a few important goals towards the end of last season. Arguably should have scored one or two. You know, Iwobi should be scoring. You know, James Garner maybe should have scored one.
The thing about
Danny
James Garner, though,
could
I think
have
he's
scored.
playing in the wrong position. He's playing on the right wing,
He is,
which
but you know, just an example of players who should be capable of scoring goals.
yes,
Obviously, it's
yes.
not their main responsibility.
Doucouré, definitely. I mean, he missed a couple
Yeah.
on the weekend that, you know, that header, I mean, get any
Yeah.
power on it, it's a goal.
The first game at full against Fulham as well, you know, where he's through 1-on-1 with the keeper and he has the option to just slide it to the side for Garner, who would have had an open goal, or to score. And you know, it was a pretty poor attempt at a finish in a
We
one-on-one. You know, you
don't
should
have
score that or
players.
slip it to the side and Garner
Yeah.
slot it into an empty net. You know,
I
it's decision
agree.
making as well, you know, in the
Yeah.
final third. You know, it's the
We don't
final
have players who are cool, though,
shot.
when they go through like that. We don't have players who are cool and calm
No,
and do it, you know?
they never look
Don't.
in control, do they? I mean, sort of through 1-on-1, the keeper, you never
Yeah.
think, oh, this is definitely going to be a goal. You just sort of wait for them to fuck it up one way or the other.
Even Calvert-Lewin, though, you know, you're.
It's, yeah, I'd say that's the one
Really,
thing he needs to improve, like when
you
he's
really
fit.
want him in the team, obviously, because he makes us much better. But his actual finishing is kind of like instinctive, and Doucouré as well. Doucouré is the same.
Yeah.
When he doesn't have time to think about it, he's quite good. But when he's got time to think about it, he doesn't execute it, you know. So
Yeah, yeah.
I
I'd say that's the
agree.
one weakness of Calvert-Lewin as
But
well,
then
isn't
when
it?
you
Number
look at the
one.
injuries, you look at, you know, McNeil out, Harrison out, Iwobi out, Calvert-Lewin out, you know, again,
Wanyama only just coming back.
came back and smashed
Yeah.
his cheekbone, didn't he?
Yeah.
Dan Juma only just coming into the team and kind of played in a foreign position to him, striker, really. He's not
Yeah,
a
and didn't do bad,
phenomenal
to be
back.
fair, but you know,
No, he's a good player, I think.
it's obviously not his position. You know, I think he'll be a really good addition, just not as a striker. He'll be behind or as a
It's the
second one on the
classic,
wing.
though. It's the classic thing of goals change games, and if you can't score goals, it doesn't matter how many chances you have,
Yeah.
you're gonna pay the price in the Premier League, you know. And we paid it
Yeah.
twice, really. I mean, taking aside the Villa game, which was just a mess.
Yeah.
But I think I would say one thing about Dyche, though. At least he has like tried to change it up a bit, you know.
I was going to say that because that's been one sort of consistent criticism, is that he leaves it very late to make
Yeah.
changes or doesn't. But against Wolves, he really couldn't have done much more. You know, he picked a pretty positive lineup from what he had
Not the
available.
best he could do.
Yeah, and then he made an early change. I think like 65 minutes was it? He brought on Chimiti, who, you know, I don't think any of us thought he'd be even be on the bench, but he threw him on and he did okay in the circumstances, didn't he? I think he'll long term he's going to be a good signing. And then when we were still chasing the game, he sent on Keane and Tom Cannon up front, you know, fairly desperate throwing on a centre half up front, but it shows that he was willing to make positive changes. So I don't think he could have done any more in that game, Dyche,
I
really,
tell you
to
what worries me
win
more is the defense, to be honest, and the midfield, because the
it.
midfield
Yeah.
balance doesn't seem like it's working.
No, it's not.
I feel like Doucouré, obviously he's got that role of surging into the box and trying to score goals. But if he's not doing that, then what else is he doing? Number
Yeah,
one.
he's not a particularly technical player. You know, he'll run all.
No.
He's a really hard worker and scores important goals, but
That's
he's not
why really he's
particularly
actually more of a
technical.
number eight, but he's not very good on the ball,
Yeah, he's
so.
not really. He's not technical enough to be number eight, is he? You know, he's
So
not.
to be honest, if it was
Broken.
me, I'd be so tempted to drop him or what, Onana. But the thing with Onana
Or
is
a
he's just
drifter.
got. Yeah, I'd be tempted to just try something different,
I think
even
obviously
the Doncaster game.
when you can move Garner inside when we've got one of the
Exactly.
wingers back, I think maybe a drifter or Garner will will drop to the bench, and hopefully
And
Garner will be like a proper number six, you know, a decent holding midfielder to start,
yeah, because
you know, take the play.
Garner Gay, I feel like you feel like his legs are going a little bit, or again, he's not really, he's more of a number eight presser, isn't he, than a
I
six.
don't know what his role is when you look at him. You
He's
know,
both, he's a bit of both, I think.
ostensibly he's sort of a defensive midfielder, but he
He
sort
is.
of vacates the defensive position. But
He
you presume
does.
that's an instruction. He's told to go and press and sort of leave Onana as the deep
Onana is the six.
sitter.
But then Onana wants to, but I feel like everyone's in a position where they're not like really comfortable in. That's the problem, really. Like, because Onana, you could tell he wants to go further forward with the ball because he's
Yeah,
good
you know,
on
he's
the
a good
ball.
ball
So
carrier, isn't he? You know, he can sort
exactly.
of break the lines a little bit. He
So I
takes
think bringing Garner in,
the
as in James Garner, would be good
Mm.
because I think he's better on the ball and he could take the ball off the defense and, you know, get us going and stuff.
Yeah, and you think he might be happier just to sit in and just dictate the play a little
And
bit.
then
So
you could rotate the others, you know,
yeah.
or even, dare I say it, you know, try someone like, when everyone's back, try someone like McNeil on, you know, as a 10 or something.
Yeah, well, I think that's a
See that.
possibility
Yeah,
when
could do that.
all options are in, he may occasionally sort of
Yeah.
shift him inside.
Or Harrison. Harrison's played as an attacking midfielder before now.
Has
I
he?
was
Have
going to
any?
say Iwobi, but there's rumours of Iwobi leaving
Well, yeah, which
for
I think,
Fulham.
what do you think about that?
I think it'll happen, to be honest,
Yeah,
because
do you think it should?
it's a tricky one. Because I'd ra in a way, I'd rather keep him because he does make chances, doesn't he?
He does, but then if you think he's not going to sign a contract,
No, he's going to be sold, isn't
then
he?
we've got to get
Yeah.
something for him. But the worry is that we don't replace him. If we could definitely bring in even a lone
Bring someone in
attacking.
alone. What's the fella at Arsenal? Smith
Oh,
Rowe.
Smith Rowe. I don't think we've got much chance of him. But yeah,
Probably
if we
not,
could,
but
that'd be great. It'd be perfect. You know, a really
or
creative
some that
attacking
Sulemana. There's still
midfielder.
rumours about Sulemana, isn't there? If you could get
Well, I
him
think
on,
we need him to come in to replace Gray, who's probably going to Al-Shabaab. Or one of the Saudi teams, most likely Al-Shabaab, it seems. And there's hope Sulemana will come in and replace him directly. But if Iwobi goes, you need someone in the middle
I feel
to
like we need
replace.
pace, especially if Bet with Beto coming in. You need a bit of pace, like players who are going to keep up with him, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sulemana would be good because he'll give us like that sort of attacking, counter-attacking threat, really.
Yeah.
Because he's fast, isn't he? He's really
He is.
rapid.
He's fucking rapid. Like he, you know, he'll get you up the pitch really quickly. I
So
think
where else would
we
you
can get him.
think? Say we sold Iwobi and Gray, which looks like it might be possible. We'd need another midfielder, wouldn't we? Really, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
You
If we,
couldn't.
if Gray goes, we need Sulemana, for example. If
Yeah.
Iwobi goes, we need, you know, a Smith Rowe type,
I think
probably.
Gray is going, isn't he? Because he's gone off to
It's
Saudi.
just, I think it's just a formality. It's
It
just
is,
if
yeah.
we need to bring in the replacement, I think that's what they've said. Once we've signed a replacement, he'll be off. But, you know, if we can't bring in Sulemana or another, then I still think he'll have to stay just for sheer numbers. But we'll have to see about that. But yeah, if Iwobi goes, you need another replacement for a central
Yeah,
player
I'm trying to
as
think who
well.
though. I'm trying to think who. Scratching my head.
I mean,
It could be like a left field sort
hope.
of person, couldn't it? It could be like
You
a
would
left
hope, you know,
field.
the scouting network will unearth, you know, someone we've never heard of, you know,
Exactly, yeah.
like as they did with Onana. You know, I don't think any of us were really aware of him until we signed him. So you'd hope they'd pull something out the bag like that. The scouting network will have
Yeah.
identified a like for like
Do you know
replacement.
that guy?
Hopefully,
I don't know if he's gone anywhere. Kamada? He was on a free. He's a Japanese number 10 kind of type, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, we need someone of that profile, don't we? We need
Yeah,
someone who
definitely.
can like make things happen and score some goals as well.
Yeah, you know, it's great that we signed a striker at long last, but we do need someone who can
Somebody like
supply
a
those guilty instances.
almost like a Conor Gallagher type, almost.
Yeah.
That kind of type. I don't know
Yeah,
who.
sort of energetic young box-to-box midfielder or, you know, sort of
Kind
number
of,
10
yeah.
type would be great for us, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who though. I've got no idea. There's actually
No.
rumours of Danny Ings as well, which is a bit balmy. But I suppose if Maupai was to go, then maybe you could see something like
Yeah, I don't know if that's just paper talk and his agent trying
that.
to
Yeah, because you end up
get
with
some
four strikers
attention.
then. You end up
Yeah,
with four. But then if he wants
but
to
we
play
should have.
4-4-2,
You need
yeah.
four strikers. You know, we've had pretty much no strikers over the last few
I
years. So
agree.
we forget that most teams have got four. You know, so if
I
you're
agree. I
Calvert-Lewin
agree.
and Beto and Ings, you know, sort of an upgrade on Mope, I
I've
suppose.
always liked Ings. I wanted us to get him last season because
Yeah. Well, he
you
scores
know,
goals, doesn't he?
there
You
was
know, he's
rumours before he went to Villa that he was going to come, wasn't
Yeah,
it?
we just couldn't afford him.
And he's a finisher. He is a finisher.
He's an experienced, proven Premier League goal scorer.
I'd
Dyche
take him
would
as
have
like
been.
an option. I definitely would.
Yeah. I say we'd have to sell Mopay to fund it,
Yeah.
but I'd say that's probably
I'd do
a slight upgrade, isn't it?
that.
Although, you know, he's
Do that.
31, so you know, we've got to factor that in as well. But
Well, he'd be like a sub, wouldn't he? He'd be like a super sub kind of
yeah.
role.
I think him, Beto and Calvert-Lewin is not a bad
And Chimiti as well,
and Chimiti, of course, yeah,
as the young.
there's your four strikers.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good then, because then
Alex is playing
it
then.
takes the pressure off Dom a bit as well.
Yeah, you know, we
And you
can
could
get ourselves.
almost play at times. You could almost play like Beto or Calvert-Lewin, and Ings or Chimiti even.
Yeah, well, it gives you options, doesn't
It
it? I mean,
does,
that's what
yeah. Or
Ings
Dan
never,
Juma.
never
Dan
had.
Juma behind the front man. Why not
Yeah.
that?
Yeah, other teams have the option of like
Exactly.
doing different combinations, and we're always desperate just to have one option as a striker,
I
whereas
know.
everyone else has got four and
I
they can change
agree.
things
We're
according to
miles
their
behind,
position.
really.
Yeah.
This is what other clubs have just generally, you know?
Yeah, clubs take this for granted, actually having a squad that you can
I
rotate.
know. And also, whenever I'm on like Everton forums, they're like, oh, yeah, but you can't do that because they'll be the first choice who won't be in the team. It's like, well, yeah, okay. What you
It's
want is
competition as
competition for
well. Yeah.
places. Yeah. You
You know, everyone ups the
want
game.
players trying to get in and performing, you know? That's what you want.
Yeah.
For
No, you're
too
pushing
long
for
at
goals.
Everton, it's just been, oh, yeah, you're the left back and you're in, you know, constantly.
Yeah. There's no competition for
Talking
your
of
place.
left backs, I think
Yeah.
Young is, yeah, I don't know. I don't
Yeah.
know. He's had a bit of a rocky start, hasn't he, to put it mildly. I mean, the throw-in he kind of chucked away at
Against
goal
Villa,
at
yeah.
Villa, and then on the weekend he wasn't tight enough to the winger. But then is that a system thing with Dyche? Because he seems to like his fullbacks to be sort of very narrow, you know.
So now I think that was just, you know, the basics. I mean, the goal, there was so much went wrong. I mean,
It
there was
was.
Young and someone else closing down the winger, but didn't get anywhere near close enough. So we had the time to put the cross in. That's the first failure. And then Tarkowski, you know, big towering centre back, just fucking clear it. But, you know, he watches it sail over his head. And then England's number one goalkeeper
Yeah.
stays, well, it's behind his line. It's not even on his line.
Well,
He's actually behind his line for a second while it goes over Tarkowski's head. And then Patterson comes in too late, you
catalogue
know,
of
to try
errors.
and cover it. But, you know, it should have been blocked before that, cleared before that, and
Yeah.
caught before that, you know.
Yeah. Well, I
Three
was
clear
hearing
chances
something.
to block that. Such basic stuff, you know. And I don't think that's tactical. I don't think that's Dyche's fault.
No, no.
I think that's just people failing
Switching
their
off.
jobs, the basics of their jobs, like at the crucial
But it
moment.
is a sucker punch, though, because that was their second shot on target.
Yeah.
It's proper Everton, that, isn't it?
But it
It
was just
is
so
proper Everton.
inevitable, wasn't it? You know,
It
I
was, yeah.
said to you the other
But the
day,
thing
I
is,
didn't even react because I knew it was coming.
you know, you need that one chance when you a team that have. That's the problem in football. Is like when you're on top, you have to take your chances. You have to
Yeah.
score. If you don't score, then if the other team score, then it's a game over, you know.
Yeah, if you're under pressure and you absorb it, you don't concede.
Yeah.
You always fancy your
But
chances
we
to
never
get
do that
one.
when we're away from home, though, do we? We never do
No.
that. We
No.
always concede, then capitulate, and then
Yeah.
that's it.
Now, other teams
Yeah.
manage to just absorb that pressure,
Yeah.
knowing that it just takes one. I mean, and once you score
That's what
one
we need to
perhaps
do
at
against
the
Sheffield
moment.
United, just try and be solid. And then
Yeah.
that's what surprised me about Dyche's team, though. We're not that solid. We're not that solid. We're
No.
quite like open and pressing, which is weird to me because I always thought he was a kind of manager who liked, you know, to be sort of in a rock solid shape, you know, and then
Well, he
attack
does.
people.
Burnley did always have, you know, like a sort of high
A
pressing
pressing, yeah.
technique as well. You
But
know,
they,
they were
especially away from
compactly
home,
solid.
though, they were hard to break down. And at home as well, they were hard to break down. I know what you're
Yeah.
saying, though. They were like a 4-4-2, sort of crunching the space and all that.
Yeah.
But there's crunching the space, and then there's just leaving massive gaps, isn't there? I think part of it is the midfield's too open, and then because we haven't got wide players, they're all injured at the moment. We're kind of like they're not covering the fullbacks, so the fullbacks are exposed.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't say Patterson and Young are their kind of like best attributes defensively, anyway. So yeah, it's like,
Yeah.
but somebody said about the goal, he's like a goalkeeper. They said Pickford should have come out and just like caught it or punched it away.
Yeah. I mean, he should have clattered his own defender. I mean,
Yeah.
imagine, you know, without sounding like a typical Everton diary referring to the 80s. Imagine Neville Southall. You know, he
Yeah.
used to just come out and claim those or punch them, and he'd knock his defender out the
Yeah.
way if he had to. And that's you see
Maybe there
goalkeepers doing
was
that all the
almost
time.
like a bit of shock. It's almost like, oh no, this isn't happening again. You know, it's that kind of feeling, isn't it? That kind
Yeah.
of like, oh dear, this is happening again, you know. And also that big striker they brought on, you know, it's like, I don't know. But
Yeah,
yeah,
something
it was a.
that really caused that much confusion.
No,
Other
it's
people
a
said that,
catalogue of
oh, you know,
errors,
they
isn't it?
brought on the big man to cause a bit of chaos. You know, we've got a big defender at the back. We are two big
Exactly.
defenders.
I know.
You know, you should be able to, that's your job, isn't it? That's the type of defender Tarkowski is.
It was
You
a
know, going
soft
up
goal. It was
against
a
us.
soft
Yeah,
goal.
totally soft. You know,
But
and that's yeah.
unfortunately, it's like if you don't take your chances, then you're liable to that, aren't you? You
Yeah,
know, you
and
are liable
obviously
to.
we start to get nervous. You know, the crowd and the players all start to get
Yeah.
nervous when they see these chances going begging. Because it has that sense of inevitability about it. And it's happened
Right.
so many times that they're almost waiting for that goal to come in.
Yeah. Anyway. So
But, I
the
mean,
transfer.
as bad as it has been,
Yeah.
and, you know, we were probably a bit too optimistic to start with, I still don't think we're really in a crisis yet, because you look at what we've got to come back and come in. You know, with Beto, Harrison, McNeil,
Yeah.
Calvert-Lewin, Danjuma, you know, getting up to speed,
Maybe a
Dobbin
couple
possibly getting up.
more come in as
Yeah,
well.
maybe Dobbin will go out on loan, but you know, there's lots of attacking options there to come back
Yeah,
in.
it's a bit
And
like you
then,
said though, it's a bit like, and it's worse because of the injuries and everything, but it's a bit like our season never starts until the window closes.
yeah, and that's the worry, because we
It
stayed up
is.
last season by 2 points, and the
Yeah.
season before it by, I think, by 4 points,
And we're going to be in a mini
and we've
league
lost
with,
nine.
yeah, we're going to be in the mini league with, along with people like Wolves and Fulham. Although
Yeah.
Fulham may go, but you know, they may be mid-table again, but
Yeah,
we'll
I think
see.
they could go
But
either way, Fulham, like especially with Marco
yeah.
Silva, you know, they could be comfortably sort of top nine again, or they could.
Yeah, they're losing Mitrovic, aren't they? So that'll be a big
Yeah.
blow, really.
Possibly gaining
Goals.
Iwobi, they're the ones who are being
Yeah.
largely linked with.
That's interesting that because
Iwobi.
I didn't never thought Iwobi was a Marco Silva signing.
But
So it's interesting, you know.
well, yeah, when he was a manager when we signed him, but it wasn't him
Yeah.
that actually
No, it wasn't, was it?
that
It
was
was
another
more of a
player.
Mashiri signing.
It
It was
was
a
Mashiri and Kiarabchian, wasn't
yeah,
it?
it was
That one. It wasn't even Marcel Brands, wasn't even
No,
involved
we
in that
can't get
one.
Zaha, and then apparently Iwobi was on holiday and he got
Yeah, he was on a
the
yacht somewhere and got a phone call out of the blue.
classic Everton.
Yeah.
But like, considering how badly he started, he's been a pretty decent player for us, you know, if he does go, you know.
He has, but you
But
know,
even for 30 million, for his
yeah.
price, obviously
And we've seen
overpriced.
a struggling team, lots of changing managers and everything being
He's
played about six
at least put a
different positions.
shift in. Yeah, he's put a
But
shift
you
in,
know,
and you know.
we've had a
I
season
think
of
there
that
are people who
for a
go
year.
overboard on him though, because he's like one of the few creative players in the team. It's like, oh, look at all these stats, but it's like, well, yeah, but he's actually an attacking player. He should actually score goals as
That
well.
is his job. Yeah, that is what
Yeah.
he's paid
Like
decent money
he
to do.
plays on the wing or off a front man. He should have scored more goals as well, you
Yeah,
know.
and got more
Like you look at
assists.
other teams who've got players like that who play on the wing or on number 10, and they've got like 10 goals or like
Yeah.
handful of assists, you know. And he's like he has good assist numbers, but you know, anyway.
Yeah, and
But
chances created numbers. But yeah, I
then
think he's going to
he's
go
in the
anyway.
team all the time, isn't he? I think
Yeah.
Harrison's going to kind of take his slot in a kind of way, really, I suppose. But
Yeah.
we'll see. But got a week left of the window. We've got this Doncaster game. That'll probably be like a lot of players you haven't played recently.
Yeah, you'd think there'll be a lot of rotation there. You know, maybe Chimiti will start.
Yeah.
You could
Mikalenko,
Keane and
Dean,
Godfrey to start
Godfrey,
centre back. Young to probably
Virginia,
rest.
Virginia in goal.
Yeah, most likely. You'd think.
Who in midfield? Who do you think? Who's
Well, we haven't got
who's
huge options at the minute,
not
so I think it's
really.
going to be
Gomez, if he's still there.
possible. Yeah, maybe Gomez, but you know they might be thinking they don't want
Youngsters.
him to get injured in case he can find a loan or whatever.
Onyango, kind of, you know, it's playing against a second division team here, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you'll see at least one or two of the midfielders we've been told we've
Dobbin. Well,
got. You know.
Dobbin has to play, really, so.
Yeah. And maybe Beto. I don't know if he was
Yeah.
registered in time, but maybe they'll just sort of give him 10 minutes at the end or whatever.
Possibly.
But I'll probably save him for the weekend. But
There's
yeah,
rumours
definitely
of
can't plan him.
what's this guy? We were rumoured with a defender, weren't we? What was his name?
The
Nico.
The Mönchengladbach defender. I honestly don't know anything about him, but
Swiss, isn't he?
yeah, reading up on him, he sounds like he might be a decent signing. But yeah, I think ideally another centre back
We could do with, and
would be
also
good.
apparently he plays. He
He
can
can play
play.
right back as
He can
well.
play right back. Yeah, I was reading
Yeah.
that, and apparently he's got quite decent stats.
Yeah, and he's available for cheap as well, isn't he? So it may
Trying
make
to find
sense.
his name here now.
Yeah, scrolling through all the Everton Twitter transfer rumours, but yeah, I haven't
Yeah.
seen his link with any other defenders, but I do think ideally, obviously we have to prioritise with what little we've got, but I do think another centre back would be an option. And then obviously Holgate's gone out on loan, and if we can bring in someone else, then maybe we can finally shift Michael Keane out.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Or Godfrey, I don't know what Dice thinks of Godfrey. I'd hope Keane would be the one to go and maybe Godfrey get a chance, but he
I
might
like
struggle with
Godfrey, but
experience. Yeah.
I feel like he relies so much on physicality and pace that like
Yeah.
breaking his leg and then the lo long COVID has kind of really hit him, you know.
It's stunted his progress quite
And
badly, I think.
also his problem is he's like he wants to play as a centre back, but his positional sense isn't the best, and
But then obviously only gains that by playing, but
exactly.
can we risk it? But the fact that Branthwaite's played ahead of him shows
Yeah.
that
And he had a good game.
where he is in the pecking order, yeah, and hopefully he'll
This
continue
guy
along
from
that track, hopefully.
Mönchengladbach is called Nico Elvedi.
That's the one.
Yeah. So, and someone put on Wikipedia that his favorite team was Everton. I don't know if that was like, and his favorite player was Tony Hibbett. I don't know if that was like a joke or like, you know,
Never
because,
waste any time
but
doing it. As soon as
that was
anyone wants
literally
to
the
enter,
first.
then
Like I
straight
looked at
onto
his Wikipedia, that was the first thing I saw. I was like, oh,
Wikipedia.
either an Evertonian's been very quick, or that's true. You know?
Nah, I think it's the former. As
Yeah, probably, but some of
soon
the
as the
former.
rumours are there, they're straight onto
Yeah,
Wikipedia and
yeah,
editing
yeah,
their bio.
yeah,
But yeah, so we've got a few more days. We'll
yeah.
see who we bring in. We definitely need a couple more in, but hopefully now Beto's in, that'll give him a
Would you
boost in the
say,
corner.
we need a right winger, a
A
midfielder,
winger and a midfielder if Iwobi goes.
and a centre back?
Ideally a centre back. I mean, I'd love another left back as well, but
I would. I was going to say,
I don't think there's any chance of finding
I
a
don't think
left
Young
back.
can do a whole season. I just
No.
like he seems fit, but he's 38. I can't see it. I think Mikhailenko needs to get back in there personally, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm not
I know
convinced
he's not
about
fantastic, but
but he's all we've got,
he's
and
solid, isn't he? He's solid, and he can get up and down. And he's
I don't know. Going forward,
I
he's
just think Young
poor.
though is just.
I
But
think
I feel like
he'll give you
Young.
more overall, but he can't play a full season at 38. You wouldn't have thought. So
No, that's the
obviously,
problem.
Mkhitaryan will have to play some games.
Feel like a left back would have been nice to have, you know, this
Yeah,
season. But
don't know. I don't
obviously
think
they've
that's going to happen. I say we've got to
prioritised other
prioritize.
positions, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a shame, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Because you're relying on Patterson, he's still a kid, and he still hasn't unlocked that like attacking kind of potential he's got, you know. He's put a few
Yeah.
decent crosses in, but you just want more from him, don't you? Because I remember when we were linked with him, and I'm looking at him and just thinking he looked really attacking. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, his delivery's been really poor. Like
And then
his
Young's been
really
taking all the
poor.
set pieces, and his delivery's been poor as well.
Although, to be fair, I mean, his corners all look dog shit at the weekend because they were going straight to the keeper, but no one's like getting across the keeper. No
No,
one's
no,
tracking
no.
the ball.
Well, that might
Pogba.
go back to the striker thing, mightn't it? And also,
But then,
yeah,
the
like you
centre
said.
backs should be doing that as well, making
Definitely.
it difficult for the keeper. The delivery wasn't the best, but it wasn't as terrible as it was made to look.
Yeah,
I
but
don't think.
I don't think any of
No
our
one
players look
keeps
desperate to
attack the
score, do
ball.
they?
Yeah, you just got to attack the fucking ball,
I know.
make it difficult for the
Like,
keeper. Cut across their line of vision at least. Don't give them an easy catch. Obviously, you can't go anywhere near them. The one time we did, we have a goal disallowed because the keeper jumped on Tarkowski's fucking head against
yeah,
Fulham.
and we had a goal disallowed on the weekend as well. Just
Yeah, which, I
Doucouré
think
just off.
it was off, it wasn't massive, but it was the right decision, unfortunately. But the one against Fulham was a joke.
I almost feel like I shouldn't follow because, like, when I was following in, you know, like the shots and all that and everything. And then I was looking, I was like, oh, can we just get a goal? Can we just get a goal? And then it flashes up
Wolves. That's called. And I just launched the controls. You know, I don't know. I was just like, again, you know, fucking hell. It's different when you're not watching, but I don't know.
But it's been frustrating. I think like we said the other day, you know, if we'd got our business done early, if
Yeah.
we'd taken some of our chances, but we'd probably be on 4 points now, I think we'll be realistic. Possibly six at a push. You know, I think the Villa
Six.
game was a bit of an anomaly. And you know, they're in good form, they're on the up. So
But it makes the
I'm,
Sheffield United game big then, though, doesn't it?
it
That's the
does, but I mean it
problem.
made the Wolves game big. You know, people talk
Yeah.
about it as being a 6 pointer,
And
which
we're
is
not.
ridiculous this early on, but it was an important game. And you
We've
think,
never
you know,
been very
we
good
should
away
have
from
4 points.
home, though. That's what worries me.
Well, no, not in recent
And then
years.
we've got Arsenal.
Wasn't
So it's like, you know, I don't
it? Yeah. But you know,
know.
we need to start scoring goals, we need to start winning games. It's the
Right.
obvious thing, but
And defending properly. You know, if you do
Yeah, we
defend,
just
you
need to
know.
start doing all the basics of football. We need to start defending and scoring, then we might have half a chance. And if the midfielders can learn to keep in their position and pass the ball,
Yeah.
maybe we'll be okay.
Just need to keep it out the net and score some goals.
Yeah.
Sort of, you
Like if
know,
Dyche call and let them know, that's
basics of
our
football.
searing insight. Tell the defenders to defend and the strikers to score.
Well, yeah, when you actually look at all these stats and everything, when you break it down, it's actually it is that simple sometimes.
Yeah.
You know.
Just can roll the ball over the line.
And some of it is luck, because it's like
It is. We have dog shit luck as well, don't we?
we do, we're cursed,
Nothing
aren't
ever
we?
goes our way. You know,
Everton
the
are a
time
cursed
margin.
club. Really
Yeah.
are a cursed club.
You know, the Decore offside, it was offside, but it was so
We're
fractional.
cursed, yeah, as we saw from the first part. Like we always stay up. So it's like, you know, in one way we're cursed, in another way we're kind of like, you know, we won't flush, you know.
Yeah, the
In
turd that
another
won't
way.
flush away. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because we're just like ever present in the league, so it's
Yeah.
like mad. But yeah, if...
It'll be interesting, you know, in a couple of weeks, you know, when we've got the new players
yeah.
in, whoever it ends up being, you know, how they bed in over the next couple of games. So it will be interesting next time we sort of
But I
next
do
time we
think
do
we,
this, where we are and what's happened,
yeah.
what's transpired since.
I mean, some of it's injuries, but I do think, like you said before, it's like, should tell the club, it's like the season starts in August, doesn't start in September. And they're
Yeah.
always so blasé about it, it feels like, you
Yeah,
know.
spend a bit of money earlier, although it's
Yeah.
someone was
I
saying
mean,
it.
I get it to an extent. I think some of it might be like the Sky money arrives, doesn't
Yeah,
it?
it doesn't come until August, so they don't want to spend them, but you know, arrange your finances accordingly, you know, so that you
Yeah,
can
try and sell
spend
some
ahead,
players. Try
and
and
then
sell
that
some
money
players.
coming in will cover it, you know.
You can loan players as well. You can
Yeah.
free transfers. You know, there's a lot of
Yeah.
options.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Striker is the hardest position to, you know,
Yeah, and they come
recruit
at a
from.
premium, obviously. But we've signed someone now who we were trying to sign in January and
Yeah.
have supposedly been looking at all summer.
Yeah.
Now,
And he
if
does fit the mold, even if he's not, I don't think he's going to be prolific, but he fits the mold of a Sean Dyche team, I think, because
yeah.
he can press. He's big,
Yeah,
he's
big and strong
mobile,
and
you know.
quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a good
What I
finisher.
liked about him, like looking at his highlights, was he surges a lot with the ball, which I liked, you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, it's good seeing big strikers who can run with the ball. Yeah.
Because when you think like, oh, 6 foot 4, he's just going to be like a yard dog in the air, you know. But actually, he's quite good on the ground as well. And he
Yeah.
did remind me, although I'm not saying he's as good anywhere near, but there was a bit of a Lukaku's about him when he got on the ball, sort of driving at players, which I liked. You know, that
Yeah, I
kind of
think maybe,
like,
you know, he's got like a bit more sort of poise and sort of elegance about him as well. You know, Lukaku, when he's running with the ball, you know, he's more just power, isn't he?
and
Whereas
also when you've
he's
got
just
like
got
a,
that little bit more balance and
as we've seen when Dom comes in the team, even if he's not scoring, he's taking up people's eyes, you know, so other
yeah,
players can like
you
get more
create space
space.
for other people to
Yeah,
move into, but you know, then
exactly.
they've got to score their chances as
Yeah.
well. But yeah, it you know, it contributes so much to the team overall. It's not
Whereas when
just
you've got Mopai
so
up
much
there,
more.
oh, it's just,
Oh, he's been asked
yeah,
to do something that he's not capable of doing. It's not
exactly.
his game, you know. But
That was
hopefully
just
we've
the
got the right,
wrong sign in.
yeah, wrong sign at the wrong time. Just desperation, wasn't it?
I think it was like this idea that Lampard had that we could play sort of passing football and he would fit into that. And I just,
Yeah.
yeah,
Look at
wasn't
that
going to
work out.
happen.
No.
But yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It's a funny old game, as they say, as they used to say. But
Yes.
Yeah, we need to get some points on the board because, like, the longer it goes without scoring and without points, it does. I know you're saying it is early in the season. It is. I don't think you could judge anything till like 10 games in, generally,
No.
but we do need to start getting some points and some goals. You know, that's
Yeah,
just
it's
way it is.
frustrating because we should be on probably 4 points by now, but
I'd say six,
I'm
but
not yet.
yeah.
Yeah, I'd say four. Yeah, 4 to 6, you know, is
I'd
not an
take
unrealistic
anything.
score.
It's just,
Oh
yeah.
yeah, any point. Yeah,
Yeah,
we don't. You think
exactly.
4 to 6 points is not an unrealistic haul from the three games
It just
we've
seemed to
had?
make it so hard for ourselves, don't we?
Yeah, we
In a
just,
lot
you
of
know,
ways as a
get
club.
started so late. You're already, you know, fighting. Yeah, we're
Yeah.
climbing uphill already. But I'm not going to give in to despair just
No,
yet.
no, no,
I
no.
may have done by the next time we record a pod, but at the moment I'm not quite there. I'm pissed off and frustrated, obviously, with how inept the club is. But I think there's been enough positive signs on the pitch to show that, you know, there is
Yeah.
some hope. Obviously, there's worrying signs on the
I
pitch as
mean,
well, but there's some
yeah.
positives
I mean,
which will
this.
only be added to by the players we've got coming back and
Yeah.
coming. So
The
I think
team is
goals
one
will come.
thing, I think.
So again.
I think the team is one thing. And, like, once we've got all our players together, it should be a sort of a lower mid-table finish. It should be.
Yeah,
I can't take
it
it for
shouldn't be.
granted because momentum is a big thing in football. And we've started
Yeah.
with a bad momentum. But it should, if you look at our squad, it should, if they play to their fulfilled potential,
Yeah, I
it
think once
should
that
be a
first goal
sweeper.
comes and the first points or the first
Yeah.
win, you know, I think we'll go on an okay run for a bit. Hopefully pull away.
We
You
also
just
had the news
need that
about
to come.
MSP last week as well, which was a bit of a kick in
Yeah,
the knackers
which
as well.
I think you sort of got to try and shut that all out for the
Yeah.
time being. And sort of like concentrate on trying to support the team and trying not
Exactly.
to get too dragged too far into that because you know it's just so grim the financial side of it.
Yeah.
And this whole season is about sort of surviving the FFP shit and then hopefully being in a slightly healthier position
I was thinking of,
future.
yeah, I agree. It's just, it's trying to just be stable, isn't it? And, you know,
Yeah.
it's hard sometimes in the age of social media, it's hard to be like, you know, it's either like amazing, isn't it? Or it's catastrophe, you know, and you're down,
Yeah.
you know, there's no in between. And it really sometimes it is, but in between. But, I would like to get up for a game, you know, and I would like to. I think it was the Bournemouth one I was looking at, just because we might actually have a chance of winning that one. I was
Yeah.
thinking. I think it's early October. I'm just having a look
Yeah,
now.
well, I'm definitely planning to try and get to some more, so we'll have to try and get to one together if possible as
Yeah,
well.
that'd be good. When's that? It's 7th of October at home.
Yeah.
So I might try and. I don't think it's actually tickets have been released for that yet, so I might try
No, they
and,
won't have been yet.
yeah. But yeah, because you know, not long left then, no? Like a season and a half, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, depending when we finally move into Bramley Moor, whether
That's
we
right.
do the whole of next season or moving halfway through or whatever, as has
Yeah.
been mooted,
Which
have to see.
I think we should move in as soon as possible myself, but whatever. We'll
Just seems an
see.
odd thing to do, but then Tottenham did it, didn't they, with their new ground? They moved in like partway through the season, I think, didn't they?
Financially, you know,
Yeah.
makes sense. Anyway, do you want to just wrap up? Got 2 minutes left.
Yeah, I think we've covered everything that's
Yeah.
know, past and
What'll be
present.
your prediction for Sheffield United? I don't even want to give a prediction. I just want us to get some points, whatever.
Gonna say a 1-1 draw or a
One all
2-1
draw.
win. But yeah,
I'm
we
not going to
need
jinx
to
it.
get there. No.
Hopefully, Beto's starting.
Yeah, well, he should be. You know, I think he's got to, hasn't he?
He's
He
played a
probably
few
got to.
games in Italy already,
Yeah,
so.
so he's not like unfit, is he? So
No. Is he
he may not. Well, probably
Dijsselbloem,
not. But, you know, get 60 minutes out of him.
that's a weird thing. What is Dijsselbloem? Yeah.
Fit, extremely fit. He has his gaffer days, doesn't he, where he just makes them run
It's
till they're
fit,
deep.
but you can't score.
Yeah.
He
Yeah,
could run
I'm
around a
sure
lot.
he'll start against Sheffield United, even if he's not fully fit. He'll get an hour.
All
And
right,
then
mate. Do you want to just wrap it up?
yeah, let's leave it there, I think, and then
Yeah.
we'll reconvene in a couple of weeks and see where we're at.
You've been listening to the Fuck Off Robinson podcast, the second episode. Myself, Bill Cummings, and
And me, Nathan O'Hagan.
there you go. Till the next time. Ta-da.
We'll see
Up
you
the
next time.
toffees.
Drop the fucking toffees.
There you go.
Bye.
All right, mate.
See you later.
Where's the sink? Oh, there it is.